Thought somebody had come up with a conspiracy to kill me this morning when I got in here. It was over 70 degrees in the building. We've been in missions over 30 years. Our first 10 years was focused. Am I on? You okay? He's like.
Turn your mic on.
All right. Got it on now? No? All right. He's going. Thumping in. He's like, stop thumping it. We started our first 10 years of our ministry was focused on Siberia, Russia. That came about due to my wife. She's not here to defend herself today. But Lord willing, next time we come through, she'll be here. I do plan on coming back. I have a whole message on Psalm 23 where my brother, on following the shepherd, yeah. And so I would like to preach that one day here, but not today. And give you a little history. This year's our 40th anniversary of marriage. We got married. I was in the Marine Corps at the time down in San Diego, California area. Actually, I was at 20 on Palms in the middle of Mojave Desert. And so here this girl from Midwest, Indiana, we got married and she drug her to California. And it was then that, later that year, God transferred us down to Pendleton, which is where we joined our church, where we're still members today since 1984. And it was the first Christmas, her first Christmas from home, first Christmas as a new bride in sunny Southern California. And I was out washing the van in a T-shirt after the middle of the day here. I thought it'd be a great day to do that, about 75, 80 degrees. It was sunny, and you don't know what that is. It's this thing that's in the sky. Occasionally, there's a parting of this gray area that allows it to come through. And she's all depressed, and I thought, wow, what's going on? And she was all sad and had, you know, tears were puddling up in her eyes. And as you new husbands know, when you have a young bride who's got a problem and you don't know what it is, it's always a bad thing. And so I asked her, I said, what's wrong, honey? I mean, I thought things were great. It's first Christmas, you know, and where have I failed? And she just says, I miss the snow. I miss snow on Christmas. Nothing I could do about it. And so we prayed, and God looked down from heaven and looked on the globe and went, well, there's a spot, Siberia, but unfortunately it's the Soviet Union, so I'm going to have to figure out how to break up the Soviet Union and call those folks to the mission so we can get them into the area that has snow. And we are still in the Arctic. We are now we've crossed, we're 11 time zones from where our first ministry was. We are halfway around the world. However, we're on the same latitude. So the latitude goes around. If you look through where Anchorage, Alaska goes across northern Canada, if you follow it across, you run right into Tallinn, Estonia. So we live in an Arctic region, and it snowed last week there. It really did. Well, we had 2 days where it warmed up. We poured some concrete, and it snowed after that. So my wife enjoys the cold weather. God puts you right where you're to be in the ministry if you'll allow him to do that. And that's part of what my message is about this morning. We have now started, we've been involved in starting 4 churches, I believe. And our last ministry we're in currently, it's been our longest time and our most frustrating time, year after year after year. We have to send reports back. How many people got saved this year? No, nobody. 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 Oh, we visited. We got out of the country, came back for a couple weeks. We led somebody to the Lord, door knocking, but that's it. Nobody in Estonia. When we went to Estonia in 2005, it was the most atheistic country in the entire world. It has since dropped to number 2 due to the influx of the Ukrainians and Russians that have come in because they claim a religious affiliation. You understand, they don't even claim a religious affiliation. If you use a knock on their door, they don't claim to be anything. You know, whether they go to church or not, it's irrelevant. They don't even claim to be associated to a church. And so you can't even open up the Word of God and begin to speak to them because they don't accept the Bible as God's Word, because they don't even accept a God who gives His Word. You got to start from ground zero. And every program, every Bible study, every lesson, every evangelistic tool I've ever met precluded the idea that the person accepts the Word of God. And so we spent months establishing the idea that this is a supernatural book given by a supernatural God that could not have been written by normal humans. And we prove that through the Word of God, using external sources, because you have to do more than say, the Word of God is true. How do we know that? The Bible says so. Now, that sounds really great. It's called circular reasoning. It doesn't hold water to anybody who has any intellect. But the Word of God is true. How do we know that? I always started with the question, how can any man write that which he does not know? Only if somebody who does know tells him what to write. You can't write Russian, can you? Yes, you can. If I sat there and said, I'll take a pencil, go from top to bottom of the straight thing, do a little curve, I can get you to create the letters. And you could write Russian if I told you how to write Russian. Where's my Romanian today? Okay, same with Romanian. If you sat there and said, okay, now you could draw the letters and write Romanian. But you'd have no idea what it would mean, maybe. Okay? If you read the Word of God, one of the best, we would take week after week after week. We finished in Daniel. I love Daniel because Daniel sums it all up. Daniel's writing what God told him to write. And he's so frustrated because he has no idea what he's writing. And as he begins to write, he prays and says, God, I don't know what I'm writing. Would you help me? I'd like to understand this. So God sends an angel from heaven down to explain him what he just wrote. If you read the Bible, look in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, I think it is, where he says, he told me and I understood not. He still didn't understand it, even though an angel from heaven explained it to him. But he still wrote it. How did he write that? Because a supernatural God gave a supernatural book to normal men to be able to pen it down, even though they did not understand everything they wrote. We can trust God in his word. And that it's where we started at. We've had atheists come out. We've had agnostics come out. We have now currently, as Estonia has become the pinnacle of IT, technology, and education, number one in the world. You'll hear more about that tonight. As that's happened, we've had people from around the globe coming to Estonia, and we're trying to reach them. I gave a gospel tract to a black lady on a street one day, opened up our African ministry. We have 15 countries represented in our church. You'll see some pictures tonight if you come back this afternoon. We have countries from around Asia. We have South Africa. We have Kenya. We have India. We have Lithuania. We have Ukrainians. We have Russians. We have Americans. We have Canadians. We have Germans. We have Belarusians. We have Cameroon. Uganda, we've met, Ghana, I'm sorry, we've met some people from Uganda, we've had Bangladesh, we've had Turkey, we've had, God has sense of humor. So we beat our heads together, and God just allowed us to build this ministry. Today they should have had approximately 50 people in our English service today. That's approximate, I have no idea, I haven't got the report back yet from the field. But we have two services. We run Sunday morning back to back, the Russian service and the English service. And God has been good, seeing people get saved, baptized, and added to the church. When we baptize, we don't have the luxury of having an interior baptism. We do it outside, and it's kind of exciting seeing people from Equatorial Africa get plunged under 50-degree water and seeing the result that happens. So you guys want to see some, I think some of those are in my slides tonight, we'll see. But I want to get a little idea of what we're doing, give you an idea of who we are a little bit. But tonight I'll be more than happy as I stay through the afternoon to answer any questions about our ministries and things. Our children are scattered coast to coast in the United States. We have our middle children. We have five of our own children. We've adopted two Russians as well. And our middle by birth is in California at our home church. He's their unpaid assistant. He's one of the weirdos that does electrical. Okay, so he's a general foreman for electrical company there in California working and also works in the church. So we have our West Coast there. Then we have another son in Nevada, and we have he's in Vegas, actually. He doesn't gamble, but he's in Vegas, and he works in electrical and repair as well. And then something, maybe their father's background, I don't know. And then we have another son up in Michigan. He's studying for his journeyman's license right now and in electrical. And we have our daughters, both are by birth, and our Russian daughters are in Indiana. And then our youngest son is in our Russian son is in Tennessee, And so you can get the idea where we're at so far. And then our youngest is a corporal in the Marine Corps in D.C. area. He's the one that stands by the helicopters and salutes the people joining the helicopters. You might have seen him on the news. So that's our youngest son. All of them are independent Baptist churches this morning. God has been good to us. We're excited about what God has done. And so that's us in a nutshell. If you have any more questions, you're free to ask them. Tonight, I will be showing, Lord willing, if we get it working, a PowerPoint. I still call them slides. I've been doing that too many years to call them anything else. It's all clunky. It's all done manually. The good news is if you have something, you have a question in the middle of it, I will let you stop me and ask the question. So that's how we'll do that tonight. Let's get in your Bibles this morning. Let's get to Acts chapter 14. Son, could you go ahead and hand me that water? This is a sauna in here this morning, so I am dying up here. Sorry about that. If you don't allow drinking of water, I do apologize. That's why I didn't ask. So I wouldn't. Acts chapter 14. You get an idea. This is missions. Now, let me give you an understanding of me. I'm a little different than a lot of people you may have met. I've known Pastor Andrew Teasdale since he was a teenager, maybe younger. Rob? McDonald. Pastor Rob, or Brother Rob McDonald has said he and Andrew are about the same age, I do believe. And Pastor Frank Teasdale was my best friend in Bible college. So we hung out together and things like that, Miss Deb. And they were the family that we put in our will to take our children if we was to be deceased before the children were raised. Give you an idea how much we love these people. And we love your church's people. I watch you on Facebook occasionally. And the other day I noticed when in the pulpit, I thought, goodness, when he shaves his beard, he looks totally different. You were up there. I didn't realize. Man, Andrew, you look totally different with no beard. But so it was something that shocked me there. But I am a little weird about missionaries. I don't believe we have to have somebody call and be called missionary to be supported by a church. I hope you don't have it on the back door, you're not entering the mission field. That's a bunch of nonsense. You are not. It's your witness field. You're called to be a witness for the Lord. Everyone is called to be a witness. Only a few are called actually to be missioned. Missionary, you cross boundaries, take the word of God to the uttermost. If you are not doing that, there is no such thing biblically in the Bible for, say, missionaries to the deaf Jews of Sacramento. That would be a ministry of a church. There's nothing wrong with supporting that. Missionary is somebody who crosses geographical or cultural borders to take the gospel to the uttermost. Look in your Bible, Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost." Okay, they hadn't hit the uttermost in the word at that point. Okay, they had gone to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. This is what, and if you look at Philip in Acts chapter 8, as he journeys out, he is a deacon from the church. He's reaching out to and starting new churches. He is still not a missionary, even though he had gone to a new location because he's from that church, as you guys are well familiar. And you guys are fulfilling the Great Commission and starting other churches close by, but not next to the building physically, but close by. And that's a great, wonderful thing. That does not make those missions. Okay? Don't get mad at me. You can call it that. You have a right to call it that. I think you're wrong, and that's okay. Okay? All right? But that's the witness. That's outreach. That's wonderful. Now, when you send somebody to the uttermost, that's the missionary. Okay? And it's just me. I'm going to have terms. Okay? You don't have to get mad if Pastor Andrew teaches differently. That's just listen. You know, it's just nothing to fight about. Just so you understand. Now, does that mean we can't support those ministries? Of course you can. You're an independent church. You do what you want. Okay? And I would support you. And I would support those ministries. Because as a missionary, we need help. You understand? If a young lady came over when we had children, boy, that would have been a blessing. It helped our children by just teaching school. She wouldn't be a missionary, but boy, would she have been a blessing. Okay? So we can support those ministries. And as a missionary, we want support for those ministries. We don't have to label them missionary. We have one missionary in my family. It is I. It is not my wife. She's my wife. And buddy, she works in the ministry, but she is not a missionary. Okay, now you guys may think she is. That's fine. It's okay. I disagree with you, but that's fine. What am I saying? We finally find what a missionary is here in Acts 14. Okay? Paul. Initially, it was Barnabas, by the way. Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas was the lead. They were sent out of the church of what? Anybody know? Antioch of Syria. Not Jerusalem, where the initial church had started here. Okay, this is a church plant that they'd started in Antioch as the word got sent to Antioch. And they commissioned Barnabas and Saul, and they sent them out. Barnabas was in the lead. He was the senior man. Later on, there's a split, and Barnabas takes John Mark. Remember, he's the senior missionary. He's the one that's in charge. They have to recommission Paul with Silas later on and being sent of the Holy Spirit. So now you got two families going out, two groups going out. Okay? Because Barnabas was senior, with Saul underneath him. Eventually, Saul becomes Paul and does his own missionary journey. So here we have them coming back. They are now reporting back in Acts chapter 14. And look at verse 27. Verse 27. Do you guys stand for the reading of the word? All right. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Now, I want you guys to understand today as we expound a little bit on the scripture. Look at that preposition there, with. Okay? I want you to key on the fact that they had said that what God had done with them. Because this is very important if you understand true missions and how missionaries are supposed to be. I was talking with Brother Rob earlier about what I had done. I was being facetious. Because everything that you see, we'll see this afternoon, will be slides showing you what God has done. What God has done. What God has done with us. I mean, the first young African we had come to our church was named Ann. I got on a residential bus here in Tallinn, Estonia, where we lived. I was taking the city bus into town, and I got on there and looked back, and there's a black woman on the bus. There were no black people in Estonia. The rare thing. If you saw a black person in Estonia back then, it was probably a visiting American. That was the only ones. Most of them were basketball players coming over to play in the Euro leagues. And that was it. Very, 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 very few. So I thought in my mind, what is this black woman doing on the bus in a residential area? This is unusual. And so the Holy Spirit said, why don't you go give her a track? And the flesh said, I can't. The bus is full. And the Holy Spirit says, I don't care. Go give her a track. And this wonderful example of God's faithful, fearless missionary said, I can't get to her. The bus is full. Okay? We have flesh too. We're no different than you are. Okay? I want you to get that this morning. And I argue with the Holy Spirit. Finally, I made a deal. I said, I'll tell you what, Lord. I can't get to her. It'll be hard. The bus is full. But if she gets off the bus, the same bus stop I do, I'll talk to her. And she did. And I did. Praise the Lord, I finally got it right. Got faithful and got obedient to what the Holy Spirit was leading. I went and approached her and said, young lady, I said, I will not take any of your information. I don't take it from women. But I said, here's my information. Here's how you can contact me. And I said, where are you from? Now, if you guys understand history, you'll understand a couple years back, a guy named Charles Wesco had surrendered with his wife, Stephanie. Stephanie was a Williams from Warsaw, Indiana, which I knew her father, Don. We grew up together. We graduated high school the same year. They were our rival school we played sports with. I knew this family. I knew Stephanie since she was a little kid. And the Wescos surrendered to go to Cameroon, Africa, as missionaries. You guys know the story? They were there 2 weeks. He was gunned down as they had their civil war in Cameroon. He was shot after being there in 2 weeks. It was the following week after we'd been praying for Stephanie to help get her kids out of Cameroon when I met Han from Cameroon. Right there in Tallinn, Estonia. And I almost didn't meet her because my flesh almost was rebelling against the Holy Spirit to give her a track. Shame on me. And it was the opening of our African ministry. And since that day, we've had Several. We've sat down in our homes and led them to Christ. Seen them come out and get baptized and saved. This morning, Ebenezer Mensa from Ghana and his wife Doris will be ministering there in our church. Ebenezer will be preaching. It's already happened. He's already preached at our church. We have a man from Costa Rica who is on our piano. Ariel from Costa Rica will be playing piano. Eben from Ghana will be preaching. Ilya, who's Russian and Estonian, will be emceeing the service. God is good. Well, it's what God did. It's what God did. Doris, by the way, I got to confess my sin, Brother Rob. We have one usher. It's a woman. I said, I need ushers, need help. She says, I'll do it. And nobody else volunteered. And I went through the Bible verses really quick. Well, nothing says it has to. You know why God tells women to be silent in church? This is my take. You know why God tells women not to teach and usurp authority? Because men are so lazy. If they didn't do that, men wouldn't do anything. And so she said, I'll do it. And I said, okay. She's been the best. You don't want to mess with her, I'm telling you. You get an old Ghana mother. She's got three children in our church. This is what God's done. Can God use you this morning? So that's the message introduction. We're getting ready to start it now. It takes about 5 minutes for the message. The introduction is a lot longer. To be used of God. As Paul says here, what God did with us. I want to be able to stand for God and tell what God has done with us. Not what we've done, what God has done. To be used of God, you first of all need to be accepted into the family. God does not want to use Satan and his tools and his minions to do his will. If you don't believe it, read a little further in Acts. When they're walking down the street, they run into a young lady who's possessed. And she follows them through the streets crying, these men are servants of the Most High God. Hear them. And what they turn and rebuke her and shut her up. Why? Was something wrong with her message? Not a thing. Not a thing was wrong with her message. But God does not want to use Satan's tools to accomplish his job. To be used of God fully, you need to be adopted into the family. The Bible tells us, we heard something about this morning, I know as earlier on, that we need to be bought. We have been purchased. For as much as we know, we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. It has been paid whether you've accepted it or not. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have been purchased. The question is, though the price has been paid, are you in the family? You see, we go before a judge, and you have two choices. Even today in secular judgment, you can plead guilty and take the judge's sentence, or you can plead not guilty and let it go through trial. It's the same with your sin. The Bible tells us in Revelation about the great white throne judgment and every sinner who's never taken the plea deal. He's never come before the judge and said, I'm guilty. Okay? They play the game. There's going to be a trial. I guarantee every one of them is going to be found guilty. And the punishment will be the lake of fire. If you plead guilty today and say, oh God, I'm guilty. I stand before you a guilty sinner, deserving whatever punishment you'll mete out. Then you have an advocate that comes in and says, whatever the sentence is, I'll pay. And it's the precious blood of Jesus that gets applied to our account that we deserve. He pays for us. It still gets paid. There's a price to be paid. We are bought with a price. Have you accepted Christ and been adopted into the family? You've already been bought. You know, I was in Anchorage, Alaska in the early 90s, and I was... back when old Depp Pinnock's fellow was just a snot-nosed airman. And I met him up there in the early 90s. He was in the Independent Baptist Church of Anchorage, just Pastor Stan Roach back then. And he's driving me to the airport. I'm getting ready to fly back into Russia. We was always fighting visas, and it was in and out all the time. Do you guys know Pastor Roach? He's quite the character, isn't he? And this is back in the day when he still has, you know, vim and vigor, and he's driving me to the airport, got his big cowboy hat. He's driving a Ford 350 Power Stroke, full-size, one-ton, four-wheel drive pickup truck, driving me to the airport with a big diesel, and he's just driving like this. And I thought, man, what have I done to offend this man? And he's got these really light blue eyes that just burn through you. And he's a three-time combat tour veteran Marine. He had tried to get a fourth tour in the Marine Corps to go back to Vietnam because he enjoyed killing people before he got saved. He went from mercenary to missionary, as he says. He just has something about him when he looks at you. You guys that know him know what I'm talking about. And now he's driving, and I think, what have I done? And he'd look at me. And then he'd look back, you know. And we get down to Tudor Avenue there in Anchorage, Alaska. We get to the light, and we're stopped there. And he goes, Bert Smith. I said, yes, sir. He says, I see that you don't have a Leatherman. And I thought, man, of all the things, I did not expect that to come out of his mouth. And I said, no, sir, I do not. Now, back up. Rewind this story a little bit. My birthday before, which was almost a year before, my wife came to me and said, hey, did you hear about these things called Leathermans? I said, no. She told me all about it. She says, the kids would like to get you one for your birthday. And I said, don't want one. I don't like gimmicks. I don't like toys. I made my living in aerospace. I was a division supervisor. I had guys that were like electricians and hydraulics and pneumatics and all underneath my department, electronics and stuff like that. I had toolboxes, big rollaways. I had every tool for every job. I had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. That's how I paid my college tuition. My whole first year's tuition, I all Dean Leslie's wood tools in his shop were mine. I donated them in exchange for the first year's tuition. I had tools. I had a tool for every job. And this multi-tool gimmicky doodad, I didn't want one of those stupid things. And he said to me, every missionary I ever met that's any good had a Leatherman. And he pulls it in the RAI next in Anchorage, Alaska, says, get out. And we got out of the van, walked in there. He tapped the glass and said, that's the one I want. And he bought my first Leatherman. Now, I wasn't about to tell him what I just told you, but I don't want one of those stupid things, okay? He hands it to me, slaps it on the glass, slid it over, and says, there. I said, oh, wow, this is just what I wanted today. Back then, I could wear it on an airplane. I put it on my belt. Just the last trip out in February, I had it still on my belt, and it got taken off there. I forgot about it, got to the airport, had to lose it there at the security. But the reason I had that Leatherman when I went to Russia was because it was bought, and number two, it was bestowed. He gave it to me. We read this morning about the sheep. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice in John chapter 10, verse 27, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he goes on to say this in verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And if you're in the family today, it's because you've been bought and you've been bestowed. You've been given to Jesus Christ to be one of his sheep. This morning, have you pleaded guilty before an almighty God and said, oh God, I need to be saved. It's nothing you can do. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The Bible tells us in chapter 7 tells us that they become before Jesus and they say, oh Lord, we have done all these things in thy name. In thy name we have cast out demons. In thy name we have done all these wonderful works. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not anything that you can do that earn your salvation. It's not anything that you can do to remove the penalty from your sin. If you get arrested for speeding, you can't tell the officer, don't worry, officer, I will stop twice at the next stop sign. It will not remove the speeding ticket, trust me. Some of you, I've seen how you drive. Okay? Your sin is ever before you. And you need somebody else to make that payment. And so Jesus Christ can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And he'll repay the price for your sin if you'll let him. But I give you a warning. If you turn to Jesus Christ and say, save me from my sins, help adopt me into the family, you will not be the same person. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. He also tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works comes after salvation. And if you're truly born again, you will have good works. 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you get saved this morning, it will be change in your life. If there's no change, I concern myself that you haven't let Christ save you. You thought you could do it yourself through your prayer, through your good works, through your coming. It doesn't help. It has to be Christ Jesus that saves. And when he saves to the uttermost all that come unto him. This morning, have you been purchased? Have you been bought? Have you been presented to Jesus? Have you been bestowed? If you want to be used of God, number one, you need to be his. You need to be adopted into the family. God wants to use his own. Number two, if you want to be used of God, you need to be available. It's a real deep, deep message this morning. You need to be available. I love what Isaiah said. Here am I, Lord, send me. Okay? We like to do this in church. Here am I, Lord, but so is he. Amen? Amen? Send him, not me. You know, I was in aerospace. Like I told you that. I'd gone through, I'd been a sergeant in the Marine Corps. Got out, went into aerospace. I worked my way up to department supervisor. I had all of the electronics and electrical and pneumatics. I told you the story already. God gave us a great job. I was so in over my head. Rob, I had two offices in this building. It was a big, huge building, 60,000 square feet manufacturing. I had one office on one end was a tech office where I had all my electronic equipment and testing gear, and I had a lathe and a mill and things. On the other end, I had an office. They had all the schematics and the paperwork. I ran the records for my employees. I would go there, fall on my face, and say, God, I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you help me? And God would tell us every time, tell me what to do. Every time. It's so good to be used of God. And I was able to lead a guy to the Lord the last week I was there. It took my place in the church when we went to Bible college. God's good. God wants to use us, but are you available? Are you willing to be used of God? When I went to Bible college, last thing I wanted to do, I remember going to college, and as we're going there, we're driving across country. The man who's now my pastor was just, at that time, the assistant. He was a choir director, a guy that worked in the church, kind of like somebody like this guy, but he wasn't the pastor, and we were friends, we were best friends, we were soul winning partners, and he said, I'm going to take my vacation, I'll help you go to college. And so him and his family, me and my family packed up, we're heading across country. He says, brother, he says, do you know what God wants for you to do when you're in college? I'm going to preach more on this tonight. And I said, I have no idea. He said, well, just be open, be available, and God will show you what he wants you to do. And that was some of the best advice I ever had, because my thoughts, what I wanted to do, were not what God wanted me to do. Are you available to be used of God? You know, sometimes we're not willing because we don't want to get our hands dirty. You know, those, if you've ever been through, whether it be something as silly as sports, how many's ever been on a sports team or a sports program that won? Okay? Did you have to work? And all those practices and all those works, boy, when you win, you don't even remember it anymore. It was worth it, amen? And it's the same in the Christian life. All those doors, how many have been out door knocking, door knocking, door knocking, door knocking? Nothing, 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 nothing. Until. Amen? I saw a comic strip years ago. It had 18 pieces to it. And it was this golfer. How many's golfed? I'm a golfer, okay. I am the the absolute worst golfer on the face of this earth, okay? But I'm fast. Okay, I'm fast. You know, I can hit five strokes while you're still going to walk up to your first ball. Tink, tink, tink. I play real golf like miniature golf. Okay, I don't waste my time. I know I don't play golf. I like it out there, and so I know because I'm so bad, there's no sense in me wasting your time and mine. But the comic strip was 18, and the first one was clink, and the thing goes over here. He goes, ah, I hate golf. Clink, ah, I hate every one till the 18th one. And it's like, I love this game. Okay, anybody that's ever hit an iron shot and it's right, it's like crunching a crispy carrot. You know, it's like, oh, it feels so good. Those 386 before that, I'll forget. Okay? It's the same thing in a Christian life. It's always worth it to serve the Lord. If you make yourself available, don't look at the name. Oh, I'm going to get her. You want us to move this mulch? Are you kidding? Man, there's dirt in there, and it's going to be mucky in there, and it's going to be sweaty in there, even though it's a lot cooler outside than it is in the building. Why do I got to do it? Available get tools are the ones that God uses. If you look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 about giving and how the churches of Macedonia, which were the poorest churches in the Bible, the church of Thessalonica, the church of Philippi, and you see these churches, church of Berea, they were poor churches. Church of Philippi was destitute, but they gave. What did they do first? They first gave of themselves, and they gave willingly. God used them. Available tools are tools that are used. I want you to get this through your head this morning. God wants to use everyone in this room. He doesn't just want to use the pretty ones and the handsome ones. Thank the Lord for that. He doesn't necessarily want to use the strongest ones. Amen to that too. He doesn't want to use the smartest ones. Praise the Lord for that. I'm hitting them all this morning, Brother Rob. Okay. I told him, because we haven't seen each other in 30 years probably. I said, I'm the old fat guy outside. Okay. Thank God he wants to use every one of us. Whether you're the fat guy, the old guy, the dumb guy, not so pretty, doesn't matter. Because he can use us for his glory. He wants to use the mean things of this earth for his glory. Because if you could do it, read the Bible. Why did God whittle down Gideon's army? Why? He said, I don't want anybody to think that you did this. Amen? And when you get in a place where you can't do it, and only he can, you can't get any credit. And we have seen God do that again and again and again and again. There's no possible way it was of us. God wants to be used, wants to use you for his glory. Are you available? The Russian word, dostupny, is one of the words, but they also have another word, the way they describe available is podrukoy. And podrukoy means literally underhand, not underhanded. I know some of you are thinking, oh, it's underhanded. No, underhand, okay? As in, some of you might have something underhand. Underhand, literally. Anybody got something about right here? Anyway, nobody? Okay. I use my Leatherman not because it's the best tool I've ever owned or the best tool in my toolbox, but I use it because it's available. I have better tools. I have better knives than my knife. I have sharper knives than my knife. I have better files than my file. I have better... although that diamond file is pretty good. I do have, but it's available. And I've used that trip when I was forced to take one to Russia. In our luggage, we were able to take three extra pieces of luggage at the time, 100 pounds each. That was awesome. Per person. It was awesome. All my good tools were in those extra bags, along with 20 pounds of moose meat. Unfortunately, Alaska Airlines did decided at the last minute after we're actually on the plane that all the excess bags won't fit on the plane. So they put it in their heated storage facility. But that's okay, because 2 weeks later there's going to be a plane to Russia. So then he took our bags that have been now heated at room temperature for 2 weeks and put it in the airplane and flew it to Russia. And Russia confiscated it because there's no people attached to it physically on the plane. And they put it in their warehouse, which is not heated, for 2 weeks, waiting for the plane to go back because they said, we don't want to accept them. So they flew, after being frozen for 2 weeks, they flew it back to the United States. And they put it back in the heated facility for 2 weeks. They said, let's try again. They flew it back to Russia. This went on for over 2 months. When we got them, we didn't have to roll them anymore. They walked. But it's a true story. They actually thought, they had us open. They thought we had killed somebody and had them in the bag. You could smell it from across the room. But anyway, don't ever transport moose meat in the extra luggage. It's just a tip for you. What a blessing. Brother, we got some moose meat for you to take to Russia. Okay. But back at the ranch, all my tools. And in Russia, at that time in Siberia, Russia, you could not buy a screwdriver. I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating at all. You could not buy. There was not a single store that sold tools. There was no hardware stores. Okay. In fact, there was. If you wanted to make a pizza, you had to start with flour and tomatoes. You could. There was no pizza sauce. There was no. Forget a frozen pizza. There was nothing pre-made. My wife had to make everything from scratch. And my tools, the only ones I had, was what I had on my belt. Before I was done, I had used every single tool on that, including the rulers in metric and in English. I used every one of them. Every time I used it, I was like, oh, thank the Lord, I got something. I rebuilt a carburetor at 4 a.m. with the screwdriver. I am not joking. We broke down in a mountain overpass. It was August the 4th, and it was frozen, and I had to rebuild a carburetor. I rebuilt it with that. Okay. Is that the best thing to rebuild a carburetor? This is how you read. You ever pull the jets out of a carburetor? Or this is really fine. You guys know what I'm talking about? It took me 25 minutes to pull one screw. You have to tighten it down first, count the screw turns, then back it back up so you set the jet in the right location. You guys know what I'm talking about? But I used it. Why? It was available. Now, you ladies may be thinking, well, that's not what I don't have a Leatherman on. Oh, you guys, ladies, you guys know what I'm talking about. Every woman in this room, if it's in here, has used your Leatherman, haven't you? Come on. Come on, ladies. Am I right? Oh, that nail's coming out. Am I right? Mommy, Johnny, stop whining. Bam! Come on. You ladies know, why do you use your shoe? It's a shoe! But you do use your shoe, amen? Because it's available. It's not the best hammer to hammer a nail. It's not the best thing to whack a cockroach, but it's available. And when you see a spider, you don't go running around trying to find something better. Am I right? And you guys are laughing at your wives. I guarantee if you have a toolbox, I can go in your toolbox and you probably have hammer marks in the back end of your screwdrivers. Come on. It's a screwdriver, it's not a chisel or a pry bar, but you've done hammered on it. Why? It's available. You get the point? We don't have to be the best. We don't have to be the exact right one. If we'll let God use us, God can accomplish the task he has for us to accomplish. Amen. Simply saying, God, here am I, send me. Available tools are the ones that are used. And the reason we don't want to be used is because we're afraid of being altered. Have you been adopted this morning? Are you available? Do not fear the alterations of the master. Every tool I've ever, I can go, again, go back to the men's and their screwdrivers. I can show you their favorite tools because those are the ones that have the most marks on them. And as God begins to use this, we begin to get the marks of the master's hand as he uses our tools, as us as tools. Paul said, I bear in my mark in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Do you bear marks this morning of your master? Here this morning to tell you, do not be afraid to be altered by the hand of the master who loves you. This is half the message. That's okay. I want to just tell you something, give you an idea to close out with. If I was to ask you to describe Job in one word, what would you use? Describe Job in one word. What?
Trust.
Humble. What?
Humble.
Humble. Well, good words.
Faithful.
Ooh, sacrificed. Tested. Nobody said blessed. Think about Job. We never apply blessed to Job. But he went through some trials. He was tested. He was faithful. But the end, when he came through those, God opened the windows of heaven, poured him out a blessing that he wasn't able to contain. God took, how many sheep did you lose, Job? Let me give you twice. How many camels did you lose, Job? Let me give you twice. He doubled everything he lost. How many children did you have? Let me give you the same number back. Wait, that's not double. Yeah, it is, because he never lost the first group. He never lost the first group. They just preceded him to glory. And God replaced every one of them on earth. What a great God we serve. Blessed. This morning, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, man, you're missing it. I don't know if I want to go through that. Oh, let me tell you the joys of watching God come through at the other end of the trial. There's nothing like it. When the light comes on at the end of the tunnel, it's not an oncoming train. Amen? And if it is, God will give you the strength to get through the train. We've seen it. I'm going to tell you some things tonight that God has done. I'm going to show you the slides what God has done. Tonight, you'll see, or this afternoon, I should say, you'll see what God has done in our ministry. But now, this morning, I want to talk about you. Have you been adopted and inquired into the family of God? If you're not, you have no idea the blessings that God can bestow. If you are in the family, will you make yourself available? God called us to missions by a missionary to Romania. We came forward to an altar because of this very thing. Has God called you to Romania? I said, nope. Do you want to be a missionary? Nope. Are you willing to be a missionary? Nope. He said, well, then will you pray this prayer? God, I am not willing. Change my heart so that I'll be willing to be willing. Are you willing to be willing? Are you in a place and God, I'm not there, but I'm willing to allow you to change me to get there. We came forward. We said, we're not willing, but we're willing to be willing. God broke our heart for Romania. And then God moved us into the Ukraine, spiritually speaking. And then we finally seen where God had us work, and that was in Siberia, Russia. And there are people that we still talk to this day. I just got an email last week about Victor. First witness to Victor in 1998. His wife Galena got saved, came out to church, was one of our most stalwart members. Her husband Victor, great guy, just got saved. He's dying of cancer. He's in St. Petersburg, Russia, almost 80 years of age, on his way to glory. It doesn't get better than that, people. stand.